Welcome to episode 1 of our new series on the Ogygian Deluge. This series of videos is only going to focus on the month of May for 1687 BC and what we have left strewn all over the world from the collapse of the Heliolithic Maritime Empire. As a matter of fact, the majority of the ancient mysteries, enigmas, and anomalies that is reported in publishing today all stems from this date. This Ogygian deluge was mentioned many times by ancient writers. It is a flood that is said to have been even worse than the Noahic flood that happened 552 years earlier, which is famous for in the biblical book of Genesis. Now, the world that we have been told through the history books, establishment literature, and academia is basically the world of post-Ogygian times. Phoenix caused a 25-year darkness, and when the survivors of this epic cataclysm began stirring back awake and rebuilding from the ashes of their former civilizations, they took on the forms that we know today in Babylon, Assyria, in Egypt, in ancient pre-Greek, the Achaeans, Argos, the Minoan Empire. What we have in academia is a portrait of world history post-Ogygian times. It was the great divide in history, and you will understand as these videos unfold. Easter Island is only the beginning. What happened to the entire world was catastrophic. In 1722, Dutch navigator Jacob Roggeveen sailed his vessel to one of the most remote locations in the entire world, Easter Island, 2,300 miles away from the coast of South America and 2,000 miles away from Tahiti in the barren South Pacific. A lone island in a water world totally isolated. Academia is guilty of hypocrisy and prejudice in its handling of this enigma, ignoring its own cherished pre-pottery Neolithic dating method to promote that this curious island's gigantic artifacts are new, only a few centuries old, dating the primitive relics of the present population only when in truth Rapa Nui, or Easter Island, was more than likely abandoned for a couple thousand years after its destruction. Dating the artifacts by dating the significant things that were left in the burials of the present population is absolutely ridiculous. In 1722, it was noted there were 261 of these enormous statues, moai, these gigantic heads and busts, and they all faced inwards, looking at the island. It was immediately apparent that the people on the island had almost no memory of the builders, only scant traditions. Most of the giant statues, unknown to these early discoverers, were still buried underground and some still lying in their quarries. Huge heads, busts, these were found lying across the ground at different depths, half buried, only their top surfaces exposed to the elements. In 1722, the Dutch surveyed the volcano Ranariraku and found 276 more statues, all buried up to their waist or neck. 193 statues were complete and 83 were unfinished. But these stared skyward and out toward the sea. They were not like those put around the perimeter of the island. In fact, the number 276 is 138 plus 138. And this is mentioned by David Hatcher Childress in his Lost Cities book, The Lost Cities of Ancient Lemuria and the Pacific. I then found the same number, 276 statues, on the inside rim of the volcano, cited in the 1977 book, Mysteries of the Past, edited by Joseph Thorndike Jr. At the top of the crater rim, where the 276 moai stand, there is an area cut into the rock of seven seats. The locals claim that this was where the seven masters sat back in the days when they had made the statues to walk. This is a volcanic crater serving as a natural amphitheater and is the most peculiar sight at Easter Island. Seven chairs are hewn out of natural rock in the rim of the crater. The seven seats may be a memory of the seven gods, the seven giants, the seven sages, the seven masters, or seven Anunnaki of Sumer, all references to the ancient builder gods. This construction right here with this man standing in front of it is on Easter Island. It is referred to as Venapu. It is precisely the same type of megalithic earthquake-proof superconstructions of boulders form-fitted together with laser precision that is found in Cusco, Tiahuanaco, Pumapunca, Machu Picchu, all these ancient sites in South America. Yet this is 2,300 miles away from the South American coast. The style of construction is Heliolithic, meaning it is post-technolithic. It is after the Great Flood, but before the Ogygian Deluge. This is a signature construction method that was used by the maritime Heliolithic Empire that spread over the ancient world, erecting statues that were very similar in Tiahuanaco in Central America that looked like those in Easter Island, even to the hands on their sides holding tablets and other holy objects. A few researchers have noted that the white inlaid eyes have been found in other civilizations like Hittite Anatolia, matching those of Easter Island. The kneeling statue here seen on Easter Island is identical to the ones found at Tiahuanaco in Bolivia and at Cuzco in Peru. Artifacts of Easter Island resemble those of their neighbors in South America and in Hittite Anatolia in the Mediterranean. Tiahuanaco in Bolivia is most ancient, and it carries with us a central capital idea of an old maritime Pacific empire. After gathering the traditional accounts of Pacific history and Easter Island from the Maori and other islanders throughout the southern Pacific, John McMillan Brown, in the book Riddle of the Pacific, concluded that Easter Island was one of the last remnants of an old Pacific Aryan culture spread across the Pacific from America. This was confirmed in the monumental collection of data gathered by Thor Heyerdahl in Aku Aku, The Secret of Easter Island, and in his other books, citing these traditions. In recent times, Brian Forrester has published that the stories of the Pacific Islanders and indigenous peoples of South America all relate that a white-skinned, auburn-haired race of master builders had their civilization wiped out in an ancient cataclysm. This was the Heliolithic Maritime Empire, and this map shows the routes that they had took through their empire and these currents and these trade winds from which they sailed. Even Thor Heyerdahl has shown that the reeds that are found that were used in shipbuilding on Easter Island exactly match those found only at Tiahuanaco. Brown, Childress, and Heyerdahl all noted that the engineers on the island were able to erect statues up to 40 feet tall, weighing more than 80 tons, and balance a red stone cylinder hat weighing up to 12 tons on the tops of their heads. These colossal statues were often set on pyramidal-shaped platforms. It was also noticed by these men that these gigantic blocks were dressed in situ in the quarry in a most unusual way. Another mystery of Easter Island is the infamous Rongo Rongo script. It is misunderstood. No one has been able to really translate this language, but it's been preserved for a very long period of time by the Easter Islanders. We have no accurate translations of any of the texts. German linguist Thomas Barthel studied the Rongo Rongo and determined that there were about 120 elements that combined to form 1,500 to 2,000 different signs, a form of communication that expressed both objects and ideas. A Hungarian researcher named Hevseg studied Rongo Rongo and found that it matched the mysterious script of the Harappan culture found at Mohenjo-Daro. David Hatcher Childress remarks that this is made even more mysterious by the fact that the Indus Valley and Easter Island are not only on the opposite side of the world from each other, but their architecture, statuary, and now the script match in many ways. It has been shown that the highly developed script of the Indus Valley Mohenjo-Daro civilization survived virtually unchanged in the Rongo Rongo script of Easter Island. Now, a descendant of this Indus script emerges to develop into the Greek Hittite Linear A. A remarkable parallel bar chart of all three scripts can be seen here. This chart is proof that the 4,000-year-old languages of Mohenjo-Daro in the Hittite script match the script found on Easter Island. And this is the Phaistos disk. This, too, is derived from the exact same language. And method of writing. These are relics of the Heliolithic maritime empire that stretched across the ancient world. Easter Island is likewise dated to the same antiquity. While Easter Island is largely known for the giant busts, the giant heads that line the perimeter of the island staring inward, while those on the volcano stare outward, a lot of the statuary and the carvings that we see all over the island are animal-related. These look very, very similar to what we find at Göbekli Tepe. And again, you'll have to forgive my pronunciation. I'll never get it right. But Easter Island is covered with this artwork. Not only are freestanding boulders on the coasts and the interior covered with these engravings of astonishing precision of animals, of bird cult phenomena, but so are the moai, so are the giant busts, and we hardly see any of this ever presented in any of the books. This bird cult that was very prolific in ancient times on Easter Island, these are also found carved on the back of the moai. But they're so close in their representations to what we find in ancient Turkey among the pre-Hittite civilization. Well, what is being called the tepes or tepes, like Göbekli, I can't say that word, Göbekli Tepe, tepe. These are almost identical, and I'm going to show those now because it is profound. It has everything to do with chronologically dating these with precision. Because if Göbekli Tepe is going to be promoted as something that is 10,000 years old, and yet we find the same artwork at Easter Island, then we have a problem. Because on Easter Island, as David Hatcher Childress has noted, there is thick lichen growing on the moai and on the artifacts that have been found on Easter Island. For those of you who don't know, lichen is evidence of rock exposed for thousands of years. The amount of lichen that Childress documents means that these have been lying for thousands of years. They could not be only centuries old. The lichen would be in small patches and thin, but this is not what has been found on Easter Island. The geographical region in Turkey of the ancient Hittite Empire is the same as where all the tepe sites like Göbekli Tepe are located. These statues are from Göbekli Tepe. Do you see any similarity here? Here's another statue from Göbekli Tepe. Now, look at the fingers in the middle of the statue above the belt. Now, look at the fingers at Easter Island on this moai at the bottom, right there, holding a tablet or some device between the fingertips. In fact, quite a bit of artifacts of Göbekli Tepe and Easter Island, there is crossover. The Birdman cult, the effigies, the use of animals in the artwork on architecture and on natural boulders. These are all found right here at Göbekli Tepe. Everything you see here is in Anatolia, which is the old Hittite Empire. My argument here is that Graham Hancock and many others are very wrong. These do not date to 10,000, 11,000 BC. They cannot date to that period if you're going to continue to date Easter Island to 400 or 500 years old. It's absolutely the opposite of all logic. It's hypocrisy. Göbekli Tepe was buried just like the giant statues on Easter Island were also buried. So we need to find the mechanism by which these ancient civilizations were all buried, because they were probably buried at the exact same time. And what you're looking at right here is at Göbekli Tepe. A lot of researchers ignore this, but there are three handbags at the top of this pillar. Handbags. These are positively dated in Sumerian and Akkadian art everywhere at the 26th, 25th, and 24th centuries BC. Nowhere near 11,000 BC, as so many are beginning to promote. In the 1940s and 50s, a man named Harold T. Wilkins spent a good 20 years researching the legends, myths, and the archaeology that was coming out of Pacifica and South America and Central America. He had amassed a massive database of material with hundreds, maybe even thousands of sources, and he came to the conclusion that Easter Island was destroyed during the Ogygian Cataclysm. For those of you who don't know, the Ogygian Deluge is a topic of discussion in many ancient texts. There are many old writers that talked about this over 1,000 years ago. It has also been positively dated in different timekeeping systems, and they align perfectly to the year 1687 BC, the year 2208 of the Old World's calendar. It was his opinion that whatever happened to Easter Island over 3,600 years ago was also what happened to the entire world. And knowing absolutely nothing about the Phoenix phenomenon, not mentioning the Phoenix, not citing any of the Phoenix records, Harold T. Wilkins on his own came up with these conclusions. And this is word for word what he published in his book in the 1950s. Mysteries of Ancient South America. He wrote, "The whole island shook. Mountainous waves of an ocean infuriated and maddened by some tremendous force swept right over the tall cliffs and crashed onto the feet of the colossal images. The light of day went out. The night of total eclipse had come. A heavy black pall covered the vault of the heavens. Strange rains of blood-red water and white ash cascaded onto the causeways. The terrified slaves in the quarry workshops threw down all their tools. Some great stellar body of a lost or dead world, which approached our sun on a parabolic or hyperbolic course, having caused a grave catastrophe on Earth, vanished. A black cloud seemed suddenly to cover the face of the sun. It spread very rapidly to the horizon. The wandering planet streamed our earth skies. Tremendous earthquakes shook the ground. The blazing sky turned to night. A rain with terrible lightning flashes and a rain of vast meteorites upon the earth struck everywhere. Aloft, the planet Venus seemed hourly changing her color, course, and size. Our Earth was receding into space backwards from her old orbit nearer the sun. Whole countrysides that had never seen the sea were now drowned as sky flames descended to set ablaze great primeval forests. The Earth behaving very much like a planet that had been forced out of her orbit. The light of the sun vanished to return as a ball of blood. The penumbra darkened all the air as if in the time of eclipse. Then an immense cloud of reddish powder filled the air, followed by a rain of fine cinders. During the disaster, a second moon appeared. Wilkins wrote that the Andes Mountains had risen in a day and a night. All of this occurred during the infamous Ogygian flood of the ancestors. Harold T. Wilkins is very clear that the Ogygian deluge was not the great flood of Noah, which happened earlier. But he is equally convinced, and this is amazing because Harold T. Wilkins knew nothing of the Phoenix phenomenon, and yet he published that the mechanism that caused the Ogygian deluge was the exact same that caused the flood of Noah, and that the destructions are similar, and that ancient writers are wrong for confusing the two. This is a matter of genius. It's a matter of genius. I was so impressed when I read Harold T. Wilkins. Now, Wilkins refers to the megalithic builder civilization that was destroyed in the Ogygian deluge. He referred to them as the Heliolithic culture. Wilkins noticed concerning Easter Island that in his day there were 550 of these statues, and only one of them is female. He wrote, "Who were these strange people who left the amazing number of 550 colossal images in Easter Island?" Now, as of the 1950s when he published that book, that's how many had been excavated. Since then, we have found many more. We'll get into that in a minute. The cataclysm ending Easter Island civilization is one that is comported within the archaeological record. Professor Macmillan Brown tells us how he personally found numerous signs of the sudden cessation of work on the vast statues. He said, "As if a tremendous blast of poisonous gas had asphyxiated all the workmen. Tools lied about as if they had been thrown away on a sudden impulse, and that some of the great torsos are in an incomplete state. It would seem as if a catastrophe had visited the island without warning." Also, after surveying Easter Island, Floyd Thompson wrote, "The conviction is unshakable that one day the work just simply stopped. You have the feeling that the carvers just put down their tools and walked away, never to return." This is evidence in that the largest statue that is found in the quarry is still lying in situ. It's 70 feet. It is gigantic, and it parallels another civilization that also where tools were found lying about the workshops around a huge stone known as Baalbek. You guys have seen that stone. It's the largest worked stone in the entire world. And the same story is told there. The tools were just thrown down, but it's not the only place. In this series on the Ogygian flood, we're going to survey several other ancient sites like Easter Island, where all construction stopped and the tools were just thrown onto the ground. At Easter Island, the largest statue that was actually quarried and transported is 32 feet high. It weighed over 80 tons. That's pretty impressive. And to date, there have been excavated 887 of these giant statues on the island. Soundings have confirmed that there are more still buried that have not been dug up, and there's at least one off the coast in about 60 feet of water. Proof that this massive project was hastily abandoned is the fact that of the 887 moai, 397 of them still lie in the quarry and were awaiting completion or transport. 92 more are strewn along the road down the side of the volcano, buried up to their mouths in soil. The largest El Gigante, the giant, the enormous statue, still lies in situ, just like the giant block at Baalbek. Incredibly, the story of how Easter Island is found, the calendrics themselves connected to this mysterious place, actually confirms what Harold T. Wilkins believed, that Easter Island was destroyed in the Ogygian Deluge. This was the year 1687 BC. In my Chronicon, it is shown by many different species of analysis how we derive that date from all these ancient accounts. But in this account, the only thing that matters is to know how unique it was that this isolated island 2,300 miles away from the South American coast, in the middle of the South Pacific, all by itself, surrounded by thousands of miles of water, was found by the Dutch navigator Roggeveen. The story is very intriguing. 35 years before he discovered Easter Island in 1722, John Davis, another Dutchman, was sailing the English ship Bachelor's Delight when a tsunami carried the vessel off course deeper into the Pacific. The tidal wave was caused by an earthquake felt as far as Peru. A tidal wave from an earthquake sent a ship deeper into the Pacific, where it found an island. They called it Davis Island, and it was populated full of people. 35 years later, our hero, the Dutchman Roggeveen, was searching for Davis Island when he discovered that the island had vanished with all 5,000 of its occupants. There wasn't a trace of that island anywhere. But in searching for that island 35 years later, in 1722, he discovered Easter Island. The earthquake and tsunami that sent Captain John Davis off course to discover Davis Island was in the year 1687 A.D. With this, we have a cross-calendrical parallel. The year 1687 going forward in time, Anno Domini, and 1687 going backward in time to B.C. I say it all the time, guys. You just can't make this shit up. And a crushing blow to the establishment narrative that the statues are only centuries old is the fact that the lichen that is mentioned by David Hatcher Childers, who noticed this lichen and found to his surprise that the lichen on uncut rock was only slightly thicker than the lichen on the statues, proving that these statues were indeed many thousands of years old. In 1956, Thor Heyerdahl excavated a large statue now called Tukutui, buried entirely in the soil and lying on its back. One eye was caked with lichen. This most unusual statue is of a bearded man kneeling, and David Childress wrote that he had seen this exact statue at two other locations in his extensive travels. One was at Tiwanaku in Bolivia, and the other was Mohenjo-Daro in Pakistan. This is on page 315 of Lost Cities of Ancient Lemuria and the Pacific by David Hatcher Childress. Again, with Rongo Rongo and the styles of statuary and carvings, we again have crossover between Easter Island, Tiwanaku, Mohenjo-Daro. Now, this again helps us chronologically identify the timing. And I'm telling you now that these match up perfectly with the Ogygian Deluge, which is dated by many ancient authors to be 1687 BC. The islanders associate Easter Island's constructions to date from a cataclysmic period. This is in their traditions. And the giant statues are buried in layers of sedimentation. And according to the uniformitarian doctrine, that would mean that the moai, the buried statues, would have been hundreds of thousands of years old. But when it comes to Easter Island and the anomalies thereof, we find that academia is highly prejudiced. What the academies conclude about Easter Island being young is the same material they conclude that Göbekli Tepe is very ancient. It's ridiculous. We have to wake up and realize that we're being specifically lied to. The calendrics for the discovery of Easter Island is nothing short of astonishing. So we'll look at some charts right here as we close out this video. Items that you need to see that chronologically verify, that show the absolute ridiculousness of dating sites like Göbekli Tepe. And I know you guys are making fun of me how I say that. I just don't care. I'll never say it right. But look at this chart. It shows you the Younger Dryas period. It shows you the dating of these things. It just don't make any sense. In this chart here, you can see the Ogygian flood reset, 1687 BC after the Great Flood. This chart here is specifically designed to put the Ogygian reset into proper historical context in conjunction with all the other cataclysms. And in this Phoenix chronology chart, you can clearly see the Ogygian flood, 1687 BC, was 552 years after the Great Flood collapse of the vapor canopy. And again, another Phoenix chart. The same chronology, just showed a little bit differently with different data. Again, you can see where 1687 BC lies in the Phoenix phenomenon chronology. And in this final chart, you can see how the Phoenix phenomenon chronology, 1687 BC being very prominent, lines up with all the other major resets and cataclysms that we have in all the calendars that have been documented in the archaics research. This concludes episode 1 of the new series on the Ogygian Deluge, explaining more clearly what happened to the ancient world that we knew and how the world that the historians put basically published widely about, the one that is more known to us today, was actually born from a more mysterious ancient civilization that we know very, very little about. One that basically the Heliolithic Maritime Empire was what emerged from the ashes of the Phoenix destruction of the Great Flood of Noah. This sums up part 1. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Part 2's coming up pretty soon. There is an object hidden in the sky. Our predecessors studied its appearances. Like a vast clockwork apparatus, it appeared on a fixed timeline and disappeared whole civilizations. They have left us records of this invisible eye in the sky and how they hid underground from its face. They feared the return of the Phoenix.